Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
The music and the sparkle of Christmas doesn't bring joy to everyone. For many, this is a season of grief, melancholy, anger, and resentment toward God specifically. Welcome to the Family Life Inside Out interview podcast. I'm Martha Menikas Foster, and today we're talking about sorrow and anger at Christmas with pastor, author, and church planter, Dr. John Snyder. He's the author of a new book titled Resenting God. Welcome, John, to Inside Out.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
You know, I think more and more people are more and more aware that Christmas isn't happy for everyone. So I know a lot of us think maybe not Courier and Ives anymore, that's kind of dated, but we think about warm, maybe Hallmark movies or something like that. We look forward to this picture-perfect, warm, happy, all of the idealized things about Christmas, but others want it to come and go as soon as possible. I say Merry Christmas to lots of people who say, I can't wait for it to be over. Why does Christmas generate sorrow and, for some people, anger, and sometimes even fist-shaking toward God?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I think we're supposed to be happy at Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. We're told every day on television all day long, and we're supposed to be cheerful and happy and smiling and full of gratitude and everything else. But I don't know many people like that. I mean, I do know a few, but by and large, people are very stressed out, especially as I see what's developing in America. There's lots and lots of conflict between everybody for 100 different reasons. And then we have not only that, we have sorrow and anger just because of life. Mm-hmm. Life situations, losses. I would start off by using this image where someone says, I prayed for an egg, I got a scorpion, which is exactly what Jesus said God would not do, right?
Right.
But for many people, that's what they got.
That's their real experience, yeah.
Yeah, that's what's going on. And so they think, wait a minute, where's this God? Where's the loving God that I believed in and trusted? They may be profoundly disillusioned by their faith experience. And that usually comes about by a gross misperception of God's character and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the first thing I want to put in the hat there, is that we need to understand that if we are resenting God for any reason, it's a misperception. We can resent people for real things. Mm-hmm. I mean, people might abuse us and mistreat us and so on, but God never does. But we interpret it that way because we have an imperfect picture of Him. So that's part of it, is to get the picture straight.
Mm-hmm. And at Christmas, we probably have even higher expectations of things being perfect, or it brings to mind that person who's not around the table, and maybe it was our child, maybe it wasn't an elderly grandparent who we might expect would have died, but it could be someone who was taken before his time. It doesn't seem right, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Loss is one of the greatest things that affects us, especially in holiday times. We think of people we've loved who were taken early, or even children who are taken, and we can't get over that. And so when Christmas comes along, we might remember those happy Christmases we had earlier, and a sense of bitterness and even rage can set in just by thinking about that, because obviously God is sovereign. He's in charge of things. He can do what He wants. He can answer any prayer He wants.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, He doesn't always do it the way we want, and so it's a natural disorder sets in like that.
Mm-hmm. And so we can start out with a disappointment. And you talk about in your book about how it could spin into resentment. Can you give us a kind of a picture of what that process might be like?
I think it spins down. It's like a progressive disorder. If we start off with disappointment and disillusionment, that always goes somewhere. It has to be addressed early on, because if it's not, it very easily goes down into a type of resentment, a complete disillusionment with God. And resentment doesn't stop there either. That's not the end stage. That develops into other things. As Paul mentions, it can develop into rage and bitterness and violence and a lot of other things. So it's a downward spiral and has to stop. And the only way to stop it is to discover why God is doing things the way He does and the way He works, because He's always worked the same way for the last 4,000 plus years. So we need to find out how He does. And then, of course, we cover up our feelings, don't we?
Right.
We're not supposed to feel a resentment or rage toward God. We're supposed to be full of love all the time. And so, in a sense that we're told it's sinful and inappropriate, and we're not supposed to do it, we have to hide it. But there's some news there, too. There's a long history in the faith, both Jewish and Christian faith, of people of great faith who were disillusioned with God very profoundly. You can find in the Old Testament Moses, for example, and David. I mean, David's complaining half the time, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You read his Psalms, mm-hmm. he's wondering why God did something or doesn't do something else. Mm-hmm. And Moses reached a place where he said, Lord, I don't like the way I'm being treated here mm-hmm. by you. And if that's the way you're going to treat me, why don't you just kill me and get it over with?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But most people don't put that scripture on their refrigerator.
right.
then you got people like Jonah, who, of course, was, we don't think too much of him anyway, but he reached the same point. But then you have two others. Elijah, for example, one of the greatest of all the Old Testament
sure.
prophets,
mm-hmm.
who said, I'm fed up with my life and with the way that it's been happening with me. I don't want to be a prophet anymore. And he asked God to kill him as well. He was finished, and mm-hmm. he wanted to fold up and get out. And then Jeremiah, one of the greatest of all the prophets, the most bold, where he's so tired of the way he's been treated as a prophet. He says, in a sense, and I'm paraphrasing, I didn't sign up for this, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like what's happening. I don't like what you're doing to me. And he even called God a deceiver. Well, that's mm-hmm. really something, isn't it?
It sure is.
One of the great prophets calling God a liar.
Mm-hmm.
That's not something I ever recommend, but, I mean, he did it and seemed to have gotten away with it because God has broad shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And we can tell God what we think. We can actually say, Lord, and I've done this myself, Lord, I'm disappointed. I'm disillusioned with you. I don't know where you are. I don't know how a loving God could treat me this way. And I'm not sure how much I love you anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
So we can say that to God. He's not going to run off and, mm-hmm. and hide somewhere. He's a big God, and he's heard this before.
Mm-hmm.
So we say, Lord, I can't get out of this hole I'm in. You have to help me out of it. And it's only total honesty that begins that process.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is God does help us out of the hole, but it takes some time and it takes some understanding.
Mm. I used to, and I continue to wonder about, in the Psalms of Lament, we have the majority of the psalm complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this couplet frequently at the end where everything is right. Everything is, but I know, God, mm-hmm. that you are. And I used to think there's this huge chasm between the first three quarters of the psalm and that last quarter or that last couplet. And I don't know that this is actually scriptural, but it helped me a lot to hear a speaker once say, we don't know how much time it took to write that psalm. We don't
right.
know if that what I see as a huge chasm from total honesty with God, that this really stinks. This is not the way I thought you were going to organize my life. And then, but God is supreme and I will love him forever. You know, there could be a long period of time, calendar time, between the time of confessing a great deal of sadness and disappointment and the ability to praise wholeheartedly this God who we know is sovereign.
Yeah, and that's also true in the prophets, where it looks like he's just totally disillusioned, totally disgusted, lost his faith, and then mm-hmm. suddenly, but I will praise you, and you will deliver me, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So either what that speaker said is true, and I think that's one good possibility. Also, he might be reenacting the period he went through by remembering the feelings and thoughts and words, and then but then he also knows the end result.
Right.
So
yeah.
it's a way of telling people, you know, here's David who went through just what you're going through and probably mm-hmm. much worse. And he already had the answer to his problem. That's why he recorded it. He didn't just leave it with this I'm disillusioned
mm-hmm.
part.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, you rescued me. You've rescued your people. You're good. You're gracious and merciful. And so it helps to know what people went through in the past
right.
alone. This
right.
is the first time this ever happened. There's a long history of trouble and sorrow and loss, and then restoration. That's mm-hmm. the good news, the restorations.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Inside Out podcast on family life, and I'm talking today about anger toward God, especially at Christmas, with pastor and author Dr. John Snyder. John, how can we understand God's goodness when our circumstances argue against it? In real time, we have lost something that we know that God in other places and in other times of our own lives has said is good. A child, a sibling, maybe the perfect job that we felt that everything that God had done in our lives had led us to. So mm-hmm. how do we understand God's goodness when the real life circumstances, the things that we touch and smell and see, are all testifying against it?
And that's the main reason I wrote this book,
mm-hmm.
because it stemmed from a period of disillusionment and resentment in my own life. I lost the use of my eyes for a period of 7 years.
That's amazing.
And that was right at the beginning of my ministry. I'd spent a lot of years in school, and suddenly the end is in within reach, and he suddenly takes away my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was no explanation, and I had to put my life on hold. And there was a long period there where I thought, you know, I don't I don't know if I trust God anymore. Mm. I mean, there's no explanation. I don't know why he did. I don't know why he doesn't answer my prayers. And I went to every prayer and every faith healer and everything else that I could find.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, God let me go through the whole 7 years. Now, some good things happened in there. The best thing happened was the fact that I met my wife during that seven-year period, which wouldn't have happened otherwise. You know, if God hadn't taken away my eyes, I wouldn't have ended up meeting my wife.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good news there. But I think history therapy is the answer to this, because there's so many other people who've been through the whole thing and can say at the end, you know, if you just hang in there and wait and trust God, as hard as it is,
mm-hmm.
You will see the sun come out again. And I've been through that with so many people as a pastor. People have said, there's no way out of this. There's no solution. There's no hope. There's nothing but darkness. And I'll be able to say, you know, I understand. But the sun will come out again, and we will see it together. We're going to pray together. We're going to be together. I'm going to walk with you through it together. And we're going to see the sun come out together. And it does. Mm. It really happens.
So let's say anger and resentment toward God isn't actually an issue for us, or we've gotten through some things, but it's not currently an issue for us. But it is for our friends, people we love very much. And as we're approaching Christmas, we're seeing it, you know, really manifesting itself. How might we love them well when they believe that God has abandoned them, and that at least initially us saying, you know, I'm going to be with you and it's going to get better, just seems kind of superficial to them right then in their depths?
Yeah. And I think probably we're tempted to come up with pat answers, nice cliches, mm-hmm. religious statements. That's the last thing they need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are sometimes when you don't have the right words, you don't have a good answer, but you can say, look, I don't know why you're going through this, and I don't know why I've gone through similar things, but I can tell you one thing, I'm going to be with you through this,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to stand together, we're going to pray together, I'm going to be with you, just what I said before. I'm going to walk with you through it. We're going to pray together. And your experience is entirely normal. And there will come a day when you will see this resolved. Because there's never a situation in this world where there's no way out.
Mm-hmm.
Because God creates, he creates an exodus, which is an exodus is not just an exit. It's a way out as well as a way in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what an exodus means.
Mm-hmm.
And so above all things, don't walk out before the third act.
Hmm.
We're always tempted to bail out, but when you do bail out, which I've done, you find that you're not any better off.
Hmm.
If you jump out of the airplane because you don't think the pilot knows what he's doing, where does that put you?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not better, and it can be a lot worse. So I think you just have to encourage people and not try to give them a lot of Bible verses and some cliches, but just a pledge of your faithfulness and your love for them. And sometimes that's all you can say.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, as you talk and get to know them and exchange words and prayers, you can tell them more stories and have them read in the Bible or read biography. That's been a great help to me, is just reading Christian biography,
mm-hmm.
what other Christians have been through. And that's one of the reasons I wrote this book, is to give people something to hang on to, some hope,
mm-hmm.
and to get through what they're going through.
Mm. Well, thank you. And Merry Christmas, and thank you for joining me, John, here on Inside Out.
Thank you very much. Joy being with you.
My guest has been Dr. John Snyder. For a link to his book, Resenting God, go to the same place where you found this podcast at fln.org/insideout. I'm Martha Manikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.